Hey, do you want to know how to better communicate with your candidates and make more placements, make more sales, make more money? Stick around. I have one of the authorities in the behavioral assessment industries. You're not going to want to miss this.
This is the Franchise Pitfalls and Profit Show. Each week, we bring you the challenges and triumphs of being in the franchise development and consulting business. The things you need to make money faster. And now your host, one of the most successful franchise developers in North America, Don Shin.
Hey, welcome everybody. I have Dr. Tony Alessandra. He is a great friend of almost 25 years. We've known each other professionally and now personally for that many years. Before we get started, Tony, let me just share with everybody a little bit of your background. You're the founder and the chairman of Assessments 24/7 or 24/7 LLC. You have written, this just floors me, I didn't even know this, you have written 32 different books. The one I'm most familiar with, The Platinum Rule, Collaborative Selling, just to mention a couple of things. You are regularly featured in tons of audio and video programs, films. We were joking about being on podcasts. You've forgotten more podcasts that you've been on than I've actually done. You are part of the or nominated and won the National Speakers Association Speaker Hall of Fame. I only know one other person that I've ever met. One of my mentors, Charlie Tremendous Jones, that I know is in the Hall of Fame. Top 50 sales and marketing influencers, number one world's top communication guru. Tony, thanks. I am just so appreciative of your being on the episode with me today.
It's my honor, Don. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. And I said the other things I'm going to just share, never just dive in, but I was sharing off camera with Tony, just my appreciation. Tony and I, as I said, 24, 25 years, but the thing I always remember about Dr. Tony is how much of a giver he's been. I would see him. I know how much he's poured into me over the years through our professional associations. And my audience, I just want to tell you, you are going to be blown away with what Tony's going to share today. So Tony, thanks for being such a giver. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You bet. You bet. Well, I always start with folks that have, obviously you're a founder and chairman. So I always ask folks to start off just briefly because we're helping people. You know, our audience is people buying businesses. A lot of my audience are professionals who are helping people into business for themselves through franchising. So you are a business owner. And thinking back when you got started, I just always love to hear people's stories and was it what you thought it was going to be? And just some of the ups and the downs, because our audience just are on the buying side and the selling side, and they love to hear people's stories. So if you could just give us a little bit of an explanation of how you got started and how that experience has been, some of the ups and some of the downs.
Yeah, so I went to college back in 1965, wow, and worked my way through college, my parents only had enough money for the first year, and then for the next 3 years, I was actually a door-to-door salesperson selling cookware, pots and pans, door-to-door.
Wow.
In the summers of 66, 67, and 68. It's ironic, the name of the cookware was Salad Master, and one of the top salespeople in the country at the time, who was not a speaker at the time, but a salesperson of Salad Master cookware in Texas, was Zig Ziglar.
Oh my God.
Is that amazing? So I realized early on that I had some good ability in terms of selling. After I graduated from Notre Dame, I got my master's degree and MBA, all in marketing, and eventually became a college prof. Taught a couple of years at Susquehanna University, a year at Cal State Fullerton, went over to Georgia State University to get my PhD, but they also gave me a teaching position. So I was teaching sales while I was getting a PhD in marketing. And the reason I picked Georgia State University in Atlanta was the person who agreed to be my doctoral chairman was a guy named Dr. David Schwartz. And Dr. David Schwartz was the author of the multi-million best-selling book called The Magic of Thinking Big, which is something I read when I was a teenager and had a big impact on my life. So that was great. When I left after getting my PhD in 1976, I came out to San Diego, which I'm still here, and got a teaching position at the University of San Diego. Lasted about 2.5 years before I decided to really cut out on my own and become a full-time professional speaker. Did that for 40 plus years. But after a while, the travel was starting to really wear on me. Yep. Over 12 and a half million frequent flyer miles on American, into every state, 6 continents. I mean, it just was a lot. So I also, in 1974, got into the assessment business. Was exposed to an assessment called Social Styles. And when I saw that, I said, wow, this is what I want to do. And, so I focused on that. I created a paper-based assessment to measure somebody's social style. I called it behavioral style or platinum rule style. And it was paper-based until 1996 when I put the actual assessment online, let people take it for free. Approximately 10,000 people a month were taking it for free. It won a whole bunch of awards. Wow. And Don, it took me 4 years for that blinding flash of obvious. You know what? This could and should be a business. So at the end of 99, the beginning of 2000, I found a young kid. I think he was 22 or 23 at the time. His name, Brandon Parker. And he agreed that he would program the dashboard for my assessment. He did a great job. We lucked out. Our first customer was Ken Blanchard. So that gave us some nice visibility and credibility in the marketplace. And we started growing from there. And as the assessment business grew, I started cutting back in my live speaking. Little by little, I gave more and more responsibility to Brandon Parker. And as the years went on, we started hiring more people. And Brandon was taking on more and more managerial responsibility, not just programming. We hired programmers. Here we are today. And Brandon is now the CEO of the company.
Wow.
Runs the entire thing. We're doing great. Now, I will tell you this, Don, being that you were associated with Action Coach, right?
Yep.
In April of 2022, I gave a speech at what they call the Action Coach BizX conference in Las Vegas, 500 plus people, 90-minute talk. I was really sick at the time, very, very congested. I had just come back from London. I did not have COVID. And I gave that talk and got a standing ovation. I took the microphone, dropped it, and said, that is my last speech, because I wanted to go out on top. I didn't want to, prolong the stay where people eventually would say, I remember Dr. Tony when he was really good.
Yeah.
I wanted to quit on top, just like Sandy Koufax, the pitcher for the LA Dodgers. He quit when he was young, right on top. So, and over the years, just building this business, here we are today. We're getting ready to buy our third assessment business. So we're buying other businesses. That's part of how we're growing through mergers and acquisitions. A lot of internal growth. We have some great customers like Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone, Brian Tracy, Dale Carnegie organization. I can go on and on. We have thousands of customers. But our big product, Don, and this is probably where we're leading to, is the DISC assessment, D-I-S-C. For those who are not totally familiar with that, even though it's probably arguably the most widely used assessment in the world, so DISC, D-I-S-C, stands for Dominance, Influence, Steadiness, and conscientiousness. That's the D-I-S-C. And it all refers to how a person behaves, how they come across, how they do what they do. So we focus heavily on DISC. We have a lot of tools related to DISC. And, you know, specifically for what you were mentioning, Don, in the franchise business, there's so many uses for assessments in general, but let's just talk about the DISC assessment because it is so widely used and so amazing. People take this DISC assessment and in 15 minutes, max 15 minutes, it takes you to answer all the questions, and you get this report back. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of times people are saying, how do you know about me, this much about me, in less than 15 minutes? It's absolutely incredible.
I used to get people, because you're right, I've used it in franchise recruitment and assessing people and evaluating people. And I used to have people go, what are you following me around? You know, what did you have somebody follow me around? And I love how you say you know it took you 4 years to figure out this was a business. There are people I've run into that have turned their business into a franchise that should have waited their 4 years, you know, to figure it out. They had a good idea and they were mildly successful, and somebody said, hey, you should turn this into a franchise and I'll be your first franchisee, you know, and they really should have waited a few years before.
So let's talk a little bit about how it might be used in the entire franchise industry.
Yep.
Now I'm going to start up top here and sort of work my way down. So one thing that I think is quite interesting is if you looked at the entire franchise world, there are some franchisees who are superstars and others who just flop. So is there a way, and by the way, there is a way, but I'm rhetorically saying, is there a way that we can say, hey, can we build a benchmark? And a benchmark is simply, the target we want to shoot at. That's the benchmark. Is there a way that we can go to a handful, let's say 10 or 20 of these superstar franchisees, and have them take the DISC and create a profile for the best franchisees, and then look at the ones who are not performing quite well, do a benchmark on them, so that when somebody wants to or is considering becoming a franchisee, we can have them take the DISC assessment and then match their assessment against the profile of the most successful and the least successful and see where they might fall in. So that's one way to use it in the very broad sense. Okay. Now, let's take it to down a notch here, and let's take it to a specific franchisee who is now looking to hire people within their organization, okay? So we do the same thing. We say, okay, let's look at the various positions that I need to fill within my franchise, whether it is managerial, whether it is front line, whether it is sales, whatever it is. Can we create, and yes, we can we create a benchmark of the most successful people in each of those areas? And we can do this industry-wide, or we can do it all the way down to an actual franchise. And then as the franchisee is looking to hire, they have candidates take the DISC assessment and, again, match the candidate's assessment against the benchmark for the position that they're hiring. Okay?
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you how we do all this.
Don't give up any secrets on us. You know,
I'm going to tell you how we do it because we actually have built, and it took us a couple of years to do this because the mathematical algorithm really was very difficult. So in our assessment platform, we have benchmarking capability. So we give people, and I think there's four different ways, I may be missing one, where you can actually create a benchmark. So one way, a simple way, is if you are really familiar with the DISC concept, you can actually go into our benchmarking system and say, you know what, I want somebody, and they're sliders. So there's DISC and there's sliders. And I can say, I want somebody who has a D that's 80%, an I that, you know, so we can do the sliders, and that can create a benchmark just based on our past experience. Let's say that you don't want to do that. You can actually say, okay, you know, I have, and I'm going to do the simple thing, and I'm not recommending that you necessarily do this, but you can, is let's say I have one superstar and I have that person's DISC assessment. I actually can use their DISC assessment as the benchmark and have candidates matched against that. Better yet is if I have 2, 3, 5 people who are really good at a particular job, I can create a benchmark on the average. And it's not quite an average. It's not like you add them up and divide by, you know, 3, 4, or 5. It is a real sophisticated algorithm that can create, based on a number of people, 2 or more, a benchmark based on their DISC assessments. Am I getting too deep in the weeds here,
Doc? No, we're good. We're good. I have some questions, but go ahead and finish your thought, and let me pop some questions at you.
So we can create this composite benchmark, and again, measure the candidates against that composite. So that's the third way. First way, you have the slider. Second way, I have only one person. The third way, I'm going to create a benchmark based on a group of 2 or more people. The fourth way is we actually have a job assessment. And it's the same format as the DISC questionnaire, but it asks, how do I want the person to behave in this job? And so there's 4 questions. You pick the most and least of how I want this person to behave. And that creates a benchmark based on the job responsibility. So it's really great. And we're constantly updating this and tweaking. So I believe the last I saw it, actually, when you measure a candidate's DISC against the benchmark, it actually gives you a percentage match. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it also allows you to say, let's say that I have benchmarks for 5 or 6 or even 10 different job responsibilities. You have the ability to measure a candidate against 1 or more of those benchmarks, because we may be looking for a candidate, let's say for a sales or a management or an administrative job responsibility, and they don't score that high on that. But as you're looking across the various benchmarks, they score very high in another area. And if I like the candidate, let's say that I've interviewed the candidate, I like the candidate, but they don't fit a particular benchmark, would I consider hiring that person for another job responsibility where they scored very, very high? So let's stop there, Don. Those are the various ways that we can use it in a selection area. Yeah.
And that's awesome, because that's exactly last year we or going into the new year, I really wanted to get very practical for my viewers and my listeners. So you just really stepped right into that, which is terrific. And you started to answer my question. So my first question was going to be very much around, well, I really like this, you know, I really like this candidate, or we believe that this candidate, you know, fits our culture. But so could they, is there any way to, you know, I don't want to say a corrective action plan, but I mean, is there a way for the employer to say, hey, we're going to hire you, but we've identified these 2 things you're going to need to work on right away. Is that ever done, or anything along those lines?
Absolutely. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an entire training industry. I believe, you know, there's an old saying, salespeople are born and not made, which is hogwash. it really, now there are people that have a natural ability of persuasion and selling and charisma, they will do well in sales. There are other people that might not have all that, but if you train them appropriately, they could become very good salespeople. And quite frankly, if you took what we might call a born salesperson, I'm just using salesperson as an example. It could be any job, but take somebody who is supposedly a born salesperson, but no training whatsoever, and give me somebody who has a possibility, but not the same natural sales ability, and we really train that person, I'll take that person over the born salesperson with no training. So, yes, back to your question. So if we really like somebody, if we feel that they would fit into the culture, great personality, good background, but their disc did not totally match the benchmark, can I, in fact, train them up? And the answer is yes.
Awesome. Awesome. The other thing that's coming to mind, I always felt that a lot of times we would see the best, again, staying on sales, but we would see the best salesperson promoted into management. And they're often, you know, what it takes to be the best salesman or woman is not what it takes to be the best sales leader or sales executive. My thinking out of the box a little bit is, we could use the disc again and assess them before we promote them. Would that make sense?
More than makes sense. It's absolutely a good way to do it. I would actually look at all my salespeople, assuming that, again, they all have a disc assessment, and match it against the managerial benchmark and see which one scores the best. But I will tell you, in all my years of sales and sales training, more often than not, taking the best superstar salesperson and putting them into a managerial role is a mistake.
Yeah.
It's a mistake.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's interesting. My audience are solopreneurs, you know, they're working out of their home, they're franchise brokers or consultants. They might deal with 100 people over the course of a year and hopefully place, half a dozen of them. I've got emerging brands. Some of our viewers are emerging brands, so they maybe haven't even sold a franchise yet. And then we also have, you know, franchise concepts that have hundreds of franchise units. Do you see any place in there where someone should not be using a disc, or it's not as valuable, or, you know, the emerging brand or the broker consultant who's going to maybe make, like I said, maybe make 5 sales a year? I mean, is it still valuable? You still feel it's valuable there?
I do. I absolutely do. We deal with small all the way up to very, very, I mean, large companies like, an Amazon.com, et cetera. And then, you know, small little coaching organizations like with Action Coach that might, you know, have 2 or 3 employees. I find that the disc assessment, I don't care how big you are, how many people you might be dealing with within a year, it's something that should be used. First of all, you take it yourself, so you know how you're coming across the people, and use it in the selection process. That's one way. Let me just also say as a caveat, and that is, do not use what I've been talking about, the candidate matched against the benchmark, as the sole decision to hire or not hire somebody. It is simply one more piece of the puzzle that goes along with an interview, a resume, education, past references. So it's one piece of the puzzle. That's it. There are many other uses other than what we've been talking about. There's personal development. There's team building.
I was going to just transition to there too. And I'm glad you said about don't use it as the absolute, because I actually lost a placement years ago as a broker where the franchisor said, well, they don't match up against our benchmark. And I'm telling them, guys, that's, you know, you can't do it this way. And yet they did. But you started to hit on different ways to use the disc. The one, again, most of our audience are in the development, in the sales, in the recruiting side of franchising. I always thought it was amazing because I went through a piece of your training that was, I don't remember the name of it, Tony, but it was about how to sell better, how to communicate better with your prospects. So it wasn't just about using their assessment to place them in the right franchise or to be sure they were right for my franchise, but it was how to communicate with them through the sales process. Could you expand on that a little bit? Because I think that'll be really valuable.
Yeah. So the program probably was one that I called How to Adjust Your Selling Style to Fit the Customer's Buying Style. So, you know, we don't go into a possible sale and say, you know what, Tom, before we sit down and talk about, I've got to take this assessment so I know what your style is. No, we go through the whole process of how do you identify somebody's style just by the way they act and talk and answer your questions. You know, you make two simple decisions. Are they more open or guarded, more direct or indirect? And there's a lot that goes into that. And if people want to know more, I know you were flashing across the bottom how they might get in contact with me. There's ways that you can do that. And I have virtual programs that walk people through how to do that. So if we can identify early on what a person's style might be, we can adjust. Do I speed up my presentation? Do I slow it down? Do I get to know the person or do I get right down to business? These are all crucial things that set in a prospect's mind. Is this the salesperson or type of salesperson that I would like to do business with?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you have a kind of a four quadrant or a four box chart. It's probably more sophisticated than that, but now, honestly, I to this day almost always still use that. I'm still old fashioned. I'm kind of paper. I'm CRM and paper driven. But I'll pull that out and almost always have that. It's just a quick visual. I can go, okay, I think they're over in this area, you know, or I think they're over in this area, and it's brilliant because I think it's made me much much better at relating to my prospects and. So I think if for nothing, if no other reason, you know, our viewers think of it in from the standpoint of being more effective with their prospects.
Yeah. And it really, it, to me, I feel that there is one of the things that I preach. I have a saying in my various sales books, and that is prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. And there's two pieces of diagnosis that we want. One is the customer's needs. So I'm going to ask a lot of questions around the needs, the problems, the opportunities. And the other piece of the diagnosis is the person's style, because that tells me how to sell. Their needs tell me what to sell. Their style tells me how. So I got two pieces of the puzzle there. And I will tell you, we are in the sort of toward the final phases of doing a new assessment called the DISC sales assessment, where we have in all the various areas of sales, what you should know, what you should do, how you should adjust to each of the four styles.
Great. And because I have one more question for you before we wrap up, but I just want to let everybody know, Dr. Tony's company, Assessment 24/7, has some great training programs. I've been through them. If you're going to use this, go get trained on the best way to use it. And again, I'll just pop this up real quickly. If folks want to reach out to you, you know, go figure out how to get properly trained on this. It's not expensive, but it's very, very good rather than just kind of using the assessments, but winging it. So, all right, Tony, this has been fantastic. As I had said to you before we jumped on that, I transitioned into the new year with wanting to bring people in that could give my audience real practical usable knowledge. You've done that extremely well. I really, really appreciate that. And that's why my show is called Franchise Profits and Pitfalls, or Pitfalls and Profits. And so an interview like this one will help people increase their profits by understanding how to use assessments more successfully. So in closing, the last question I always ask everybody is there anything else, you know, anything I haven't asked or anything you think that our audience should know or should hear that we haven't even touched on it yet? Last thoughts for the audience.
Boy, I think we've really covered quite a bit. I think it's important that people take the DISC assessment and see what it uncovers and the power of it. Our reports are typically two parts. One part is, this is your style and this is how you behave. But the second part teaches you how to use the DISC assessment with others. And we call it adaptability. How can I change my style or adapt my style depending on the situation or the person that we're dealing with? So it's a great teaching tool as well as an informational tool.
That's great. Yeah, I remember in the last story I'll tell is I remember before I knew about DISC and some of the other assessments in my corporate life, I'll never forget I had interviewed this lady to be at that time a secretary for me and just hit it off. It was really, really great. And then she told me years later that the first like 2 weeks that she worked for me, she went home every night and cried and wished she had never taken the position. And I'm a screaming high D on the DISC in my natural or well, in both of them actually, but my more natural is I'm actually a higher I than a D. But when I get down to business and I'm under stress, you know, I fall into my high D and nothing else. And so so to me, that was always my classic example of knowing myself. So yeah. Now when I hire people, literally, I tell them, there's going to be times where I'm going to have to come back and apologize to you. And I will. But my D is just going to, you know, I'm just going to be a bull in a china shop. So and I thank Dr. Tony for that awareness. So I really appreciate it. Yeah, all right. We are done, Dr. Tony. I appreciate you. And thanks so much for being for pouring in everybody today.
My pleasure, Don. Thank you.
You bet.